It's so good to be here. I've missed preaching over the last couple of weeks. And so I'd like to pray and pray that God will orient our hearts to hear his word. And I do pray today that we will find great joy in knowing Christ. That's where we're heading today. And I'd actually like to also think about what it looks like for us to safeguard our joy in Jesus. So let's pray and bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have brought us together here today. And we thank you that as we've been opening up the book of Philippians, you've been revealing over and over all about the joy that is found in Jesus Christ. And we do pray that we again will see why Jesus brings us so much joy. And that we do pray as well that as we think about our joy that is found in Christ, that you will also give us tools so that we can safeguard our joy in him. We pray this in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, there are many threats, there are many troubles in life that get in the way of our joy and actually can take away our joy in Christ. And I don't know if you've ever thought about things in your life that can take away your joy, but on the screen I've got three predominant things that can actually strip the joy that you find in Christ. One of those things is guilt. You might have been battling with a sin your whole life, and every time you do it, you feel miserable, and you begin to even question God's love for you. Can he forgive me because of my sin? He's died on the cross for me, but I continue to sin this way. How, Lord, could you love someone like me? And that's where you wrestle with those things. It can begin to eat away our joy that is found in Christ. Or maybe you are someone who worries. You worry about what people think about you. You worry if you'll smash your grades in your year 11 exams or your HSC, you worry about things in life, and through those worries, you begin to move your eyes away from the God who loves you deeply and begin to lose your joy in him because you're focusing on other things. Or maybe even doubt is something that you struggle with. For me personally, as you know, I've been living in Scone for the last 4 years of my life, and for me, I struggled with doubt for a while. I was isolated from all my friends, all my family. At times, ministry was hard and I felt like I didn't have many support networks around me right on the grounds. And I began to doubt God's kindness. Why, Lord, did you send me here to what it seemed to be at a time, a God-forsaken land where not many people were interested about the good news of Christ? Why did you send me here, God? There are so many threats to our joy in Jesus Christ. There are many threats to our happiness that is found in Christ. But today I would like to say that there is hope, that there is hope in the gospel. Paul is speaking to a people who are tempted to lose their joy in Jesus Christ. And he reminds us mid-letter, halfway through the book, he says, "Rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again. And it is a safeguard to you." What is in the bold font there? Rejoice in whom? The Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ is the source of our joy. This is a joy that comes from heaven down to earth. This is the ultimate joy for the Christian. And we're going to be moving there and showing how Paul's testimony points to this reality, but true happiness is found in Jesus Christ. But there's another word there. Can you see in the bold font? What does it say? Safeguard. Paul is seeking to protect, to safeguard their joy in Jesus Christ. A safeguard is like a shield, a protection. When threats come, that shield is a wall against those threats of doubt, worry, whatever struggle you're facing with. Paul is writing to safeguard their rejoicing in Jesus Christ. Think about a safeguard like this. Does anyone know what this is on the screen? Any thoughts? Up in the Blue Mountains. Do you know what you call this mountain peak? Yeah, over there? Three Sisters. I want to confess, I once took a youth group to KICK, which is this big youth event that occurs up in the Blue Mountains. And during some spare time, we went down and went on one of the bush tracks around the Three Sisters. Some of my leaders ran ahead and I lost sight of them, I must confess, for a moment. And when I found them at the edge of the mountain, I almost lost my mind. Because some of the leaders were showing the youth how to stand on the opposite side of the railing and hanging off like this. If I let go, I will die. What is the purpose of a railing? To safeguard you from what? Death. Injury. You need the safeguard there so that you don't fall into that valley and die. Likewise, Paul is deeply aware that we as Christians need spiritual railings, safeguards to protect our joy in Jesus Christ. And so I'd like to point out two things today. In order to safeguard our joy in Christ, he exposes the real threat to joy and he shows us the true source of joy through his own testimony today. And so let's look at the first thing today, the threat of joy. And so open up your Bibles to verse 2. I'm actually quoting the ESV because it points out something that we don't see in your translation there, the NIV. It says this, "Look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh." What is that phrase that is repeated? Any ideas? It's on the screen there. Look out. Look out. Who are the dogs? Is actually referring to people. Paul is using provocative language. He's trying to get a reaction. These evildoers, these mutilators of the flesh, they are dogs. Now, you might be thinking, what does it mean to be a mutilator of the flesh? Well, he continues to tell us there was this group, they were called this kind of separatist group, and what they were doing was saying, you don't only need Jesus for salvation, but you need to go back to the Old Testament traditions and all the ritual sacrifices and laws. And some of you guys actually need to get the snip in order to be saved. He's talking about circumcision. You need to have circumcision plus Jesus in order to receive eternal life. Thanks for being mature there. I can see some smiles, particularly from the girls. But he's saying, look out for those men. Look out for those guys. If they're saying things like you need circumcision plus Jesus to be saved, they are liars. They are dogs. Be aware of them. One scholar says this, the death of Christ fulfilled the meaning of circumcision. So circumcision was pointing forward to a circumcision that took place in our hearts. We have dead, cold hearts. We are dead in our trespasses and our sins, but Christ came in order that we don't have to get the snip anymore, but our hearts have been snipped so that we can have a right relationship with God the Father once the Holy Spirit takes a home, a residency in our hearts. And so this preacher says the death of Christ fulfilled the meaning of circumcision, but these false teachers were attempting to keep people under the old covenant laws by requiring their followers to be circumcised. In essence, the false teachers were not putting their confidence in Christ and the cross alone, that deep wisdom which we've been learning about in 1 Corinthians, but rather in their own religious works and human achievements. This caused people to question if they were truly right with God, which in a sense smashed their joy to pieces. Because they began to wonder, well, if I need something more than Christ, then what do I need? And so because they began to have doubt, their faith was hindered. And because their faith was hindered, their happiness in Christ began to disappear. And for many of us, there are also many killjoys today that may tempt you when it comes to your own joy in Christ, particularly if you're someone who has said yes to Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my Savior. Some of the common killjoys to the gospel of Jesus Christ is feeling like you need to do a lot of religious stuff to be right with God. What might be some religious stuff? Praying at a particular moment every single day, ensuring that you need to read your Bible at a particular moment each day. Now, I'm not saying those things are bad. I want to encourage you to read your Bible and pray. But those things, when they become religious rituals that seek to win God's favor and approval, begin to kill your joy when you depend upon them for salvation or to be in a right relationship with God. And we can also apply that to going to church a lot. Every time the doors of the church open, you might think, I need to be there in order to be right with God, or just being a pretty good person. thinking that you can win God's favor through your moral life, your good life. And most Australians assume salvation through a moral life. But that's not the way to be saved. And Paul brings this home, reflecting upon his past life. He was the greatest Jew. He fulfilled the requirements of the law. And still, he said he came short of God's glory and needed something beyond himself to fill him wholeheartedly with joy. And that is Jesus. I love this scripture. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything, not just a part of his life, all his religiosity, his religious life, but everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. If there was someone who would win God's approval through their own good works or merit, who would it be? Paul. Yet he casts it aside and says, that past life I lived is garbage. A waste of time. Worthless. All things, he says, all his education, learning, reputation, ministry positions, social prestige, all of these things are nothing. They are empty joys. They are kill joys. All things immediately became garbage to Paul in order that he might gain hold of the most extraordinary treasure in the universe, who is Jesus Christ. And this is also true for us. I need you to hear this today in the text as well. There is nothing we can do, nothing at all, to win God's approval. Nothing. So how do we win God's approval? I was thinking about this, how to communicate this to you this week, and I came up with these words. There is only real lasting joy when we step out of religion and step into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Step out of trying to win God's favor through your works, your personal achievements, and recognize that God's hands are wide open, ready to embrace you as you are if you simply come to Christ, repent of your sin, which means to say sorry to God, and embrace all that Christ accomplished because you couldn't. What did Christ accomplish? He died for you. For your failure to live up to your own moral standards. For your failure to live up to the moral standards of God, Christ stood in your place, died on the cross, shed his blood for you so that you could receive the gift of eternity, so that you could be welcomed into God's family forever, where you could have peace, joy for all eternity. Do you have that joy? Do you have that hope? Do you have that assurance of salvation? Do you recognize that you cannot win it through your own works? I pray that you'll say, yeah, that's me. Jesus is the ultimate source of joy. But we can only step into a personal relationship with him through a key word on the screen. It begins with F, and it says it twice. Can you guys say it out loud? Faith. That's how you take hold of the treasure of eternity, Jesus. That's how you take hold of joy that is not of this world, Jesus. By faith. Faith alone, in Christ alone, for the glory of God alone. It is through faith that you have been saved. Through faith. It's not your works, so no one can boast. as Paul says elsewhere. Eternal life with Jesus begins by faith alone in Christ alone, nothing more, nothing less. And so how great is this news? Does it fill your heart with joy that Christ invites you to take hold of eternity? Does it actually give you happiness to know that? I can't stress it enough. Like, ultimate joy is found in the perfect source of joy, Jesus. And I love what this scholar says about this. He says, the truest, purest joy flows from a discovery of Jesus Christ. He is the hidden treasure that gives such joy to the finder. Have you found the hidden treasure of this world, Jesus? Well, if you've said yes today, that is so encouraging to hear. But if you're still like wondering, what is this about? I would like to invite the leaders to put their hands up right now. Leaders, could you put your hands up? These are people in the room who you could speak to, who are here to actually help you understand and grapple with the joy in Jesus Christ. You can put your hands down now. Guys, I really want to encourage you to have a conversation today with them. They are here for you. But for those who have embraced Christ, I actually want to dig one. I want to kind of explore one more point with you today. I want to actually ask the question, how can we protect and safeguard that joy? Remember in verse 2, Paul says, look out, look out, look out. How can we look out for the threats that seek to destroy our joy in Jesus? How might we safeguard our joy in Christ? Well, today I'd like to suggest that we become kind of like lifeguards. The role of a lifeguard is surveillance, enforcing the rules, emergency response, communication. But there's actually one thing that they really do well. They sit on the top of a tower, and what are they doing with their eyes? What's our key phrase today? Look out. They're looking out for whom? Sharks, maybe. But they're looking out for you, the patrons, those who are swimming in the water to protect you. And if you get in danger, what do? They come and take you back onto the shore to keep you safe from potential threats to yourself or the wildlife around you. The key thing that safeguards do is that they are vigilant. And I want to encourage you to be a spiritual lifeguard, someone who is seeking to safeguard joy. So how might we become spiritual lifeguards today? First of all, know your enemies. Know the foes to joy. Know the things in your life that eat away your joy. For many of us, they're not just religious things, trying to win God's favor. Maybe that's a killjoy for you. It was Paul's killjoy. But maybe it's something on the screen, like materialism, the worship of wealth, thinking that you need that car off your parents in order to have that social status that you're longing for. Or maybe it is individualism, a bit of pride, a bit of self-centeredness, or maybe technology, making sure that when the latest iPhone is released, that you are there at the shop, ready to embrace that new technology and then to showcase to all your friends that you now have access to the latest tech. Maybe technology is something that you're addicted to that shapes everything that you are about. Or maybe your own personal image. You're not happy with how you look. And so you live your life for the pursuit of a six-pack. Or maybe power. I want to get into a position in my workplace so that I can actually dominate rather than be dominated. You can make that your pursuit of joy. Or even self-improvement. For me, when I first started preaching, I was so scared about what people would think about me. And so every single word of my talk, I would craft in such a way in order to win the approval of others. It was a perfectionism. And so I made preaching even an idol. And it was destroying my joy. I was seeking to serve God with joy, but the means of actually serving God that was meant to bring joy actually began to bring despair. What enemy to your joy is out there? What idol gets in the way of your joy? that crushes you, that fills you with burden. If you've been saved by grace, you're a Christian, but even Christians can leak out their joy. What are the leaks in your life that you need to patch up and put a safeguard around so that you don't continue to walk in despair rather than the happiness that God desires you to walk in? And the second thing we can do is this. Focus on Jesus. You've heard that all before, but I'd like to touch in on this. Christ says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, not on earthly things. In other words, fill your mind, fill your heart with thoughts of Christ. This is your weapon against those things that seek to destroy your life. Fill your heart and mind with the things of Christ. Josh Irving was saying before in our leaders meeting, meditate on scripture and meditate on in such a way where you store it in your heart through Bible memorization. Memorize key portions of scripture. If there's things in your life that you know are threats, memorize scriptures that address those threats so that they're weapons against those threats. So that when those threats come into your life, if that be porn or something else, you just smash it to pieces. You crush that idol. You show that you are not going to be controlled by the things of the world, but you're going to be controlled by the one you're looking to, the King of Heaven, who rules over you. He desires to fill you with joy. Let me close with these words. Do you desire to protect your joy in Jesus? If you're a Christian today, ask that. Do you desire your joy to be safeguarded so that you live a life that is pleasing to God? If you're new today, you've heard about the joy that is found in knowing Christ. Do you desire a joy that is not of this world? Well, as you think about those things, let me pray and ask that we will treasure Christ and the joy that he offers us because he's the ultimate source of joy. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you that you love us so much so that you sent Christ into the world to die on our behalf, to set us free from sin, death, the devil, so that we could now treasure you as the Lord and Savior of our life who fills us with joy. But Lord, we understand that there are things that get in the way that seek to destroy and eat away the joy that we have in you. And so Lord, we do pray that you help us, give us the strength to safeguard our joy in Christ. We pray this in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.